Well, good morning and welcome to our service this morning. A special welcome to any visitors that are here with us, and I would certainly ask that if you have time to stay back and join us for a cup of tea or coffee and some fellowship after the service, everyone is welcome. The service this evening at 6 p.m. will be conducted by Dr. Anthony Latham, and intimations for the week. Ladies' Bible study meets at 8 p.m. on Monday night. The Road to Recovery meets on Tuesday at 8 p.m. in the Community Centre here. And the prayer meeting on Wednesday at 7:30 here in the Community Centre. Well, the Minister is on holiday from the 7th to the 30th of July. If there are any pastoral issues, please speak to one of the elders in the first instance. The Reverend Roddy Morrison and the Reverend Andrew Coggle will be available should anyone wish to speak with a minister. And God willing, the services next Sunday will be conducted by the Reverend Roddy Morrison, 11 a.m, and 6 p.m. by Mr. Duncan McPherson, the session clerk. These are all the invitations this morning. Let us come together and sing God's praise from Psalm 139, from verses 1 down to the end of the verse Mark 10. O Lord, thou hast me searched and known. Thou knowest my sitting down and rising up, yea, all my thoughts afar to thee are known. My footsteps and my lying down, thou compassest always. Thou also most entirely art acquaint with all my ways. Take I the morning wings and dwell in utmost parts of sea. Even there, Lord, shall thy hand me lead. Thy right hand hold shall me. These verses to God's praise, and we'll stand to sing.
O Lord, thou hast me searched and known. Thou knowest my sitting down and rising up, yea, on my thoughts apart to thee are known. My footsteps and my
to understand.
Let us bow in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and ever-blessed Lord, we thank you that we can come before you this morning. That we can come and we can gather into your presence. And as we have sung there, Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that we come before a Lord that has searched us and that has known us. That our lying down are rising up. You know our words before they are even on our lips. And we come before you this morning and we do indeed seek to worship you. To worship you in spirit and in truth. To worship you and give you all the glory and honour that you are due. And we thank you this morning that we can come and we can come freely. And that Heavenly Father, that we can come before a God that hears and answers prayer. That no matter what our burden is this morning, no matter what it is that makes us anxious, you tell us through your word to come before you. To cast our cares, to cast our anxieties before you. For you do indeed care for us. And Heavenly Father, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And we pray that we would come and we would cast our burdens before you this morning. We come before you and we remember those of our number that are unable to be with us this morning. Some are we on holiday at time of rest, but some laid low through sickness. Some in hospital at this time. We bring them before you, Heavenly Father, and we ask that you would uphold them. That, Heavenly Father, your healing hand would be stayed upon them. For you are indeed the great physician. And Heavenly Father, as they wait results, as they wait different word on whether they stay in the hospital they're in or travel to another, that you would be with them, that you would be with the family. That you would uphold each one of them, Heavenly Father, in their different need. And as they wait with expectation upon you, that Heavenly Father, we know that in waiting upon you, our strength is renewed. Well, Heavenly Father, we bring before you a minister at this time and we pray that it's himself and Mary and the girls that are away in public. That you would be with them, that you would strengthen them again, that you would indeed restore Heavenly Father his strength during this time of rest. And that he would indeed be returned here refreshed to us to continue the ministry that you have called him to be. And that you have blessed him in. And through blessing him, you have blessed each one of us here. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for that. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for answers prayer. For those that we see amongst us this morning that have been through many trials and testings through health. And Heavenly Father, you have restored them and they are back here worshipping with us and we thank you for it. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you would guide us as we continue here. As we read your word. As we speak with the children. As we sing your praise. As we break down your word further, Heavenly Father, we pray in all these things. That you would guide and direct us. That we would know your hand upon us. And that, Heavenly Father, that we would walk in your strength. And not our own. We pray this as we come before you now, counting all things to your glory as we seek forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Boys and girls, would you like to come down to the front? Warm standing up here. How are you all this morning? Fine. You're on holiday from school. You must be better than fine. How are you all this morning? You all lost your tongues? Yeah? You've all gone shy. Right, I'm going to tell you a story this morning. And it's a true story because it happened to me. Okay? It was a long, long time ago. 20 years ago. How many of you are 20? None of you. None of you are 20. How many of you are 10? One. So it's a long, long time ago. And I tell you what happened. I was working as a policeman here in Tarbert, and it was Christmas time, and it had been snowing, and my mum and dad stayed in Ness. And Gillian and I decided that we would go to Ness to have Christmas dinner with my mum and dad. So we set off, and it was nice here, but when we reached Balallan, it started snowing. And it didn't just start a couple of drops of snow, it was snowing really heavy. And we could hardly see where we were going. We reached Stornoway, only to find out that the Barvis Moor was closed. Now that was the road that we had to take to get to Ness. So we went to the police station, and we waited, and we waited, and then we got word that the snowplough was going to do a run across the Barvis Moor if we wanted to follow it. So we followed the snowplough across the Barvis Moor, and we reached Ness. Spent the night there, got up in the morning, and we didn't open our presents in the morning. Do you know why? My dad was very, very anxious. He was pacing back and forth at the kitchen window, and every so often he would look out to see if he could see something. And the place was just white. Do you know what he was looking for? Can anyone guess what he might have been looking for? He was looking for sheep. Can you imagine? It was Christmas Day, and it was white outside, and he had a pair of binoculars, and he was looking for sheep. Do you know why he was looking for his sheep? He was worried about them. When the weather had been better, he had put sheep out to the moor so they could feed out there, and all of a sudden it started snowing. And the snow was very deep. So my dad knew that there was going to be no grass that the sheep would have been able to get to. So he was worried about them. So what we did was, we had a very quick breakfast, put our oil skins on, welly boots on, and I followed my dad out the moor road to see if we could find the sheep. The place was white. What colour are sheep? How easy do you think it was going to be to find them? It was going to be hard. And I'm following my dad out the road thinking, is this the right thing to be doing? And there was this track that we were following that the tractors used to go and collect the peats. And it was fine when we were on the track because I knew I could follow the track back home. But then my dad, after a couple of miles walking out, he goes, we're going this way. I thought, but we're going off the path. No, no, we're going this way. I'm thinking, he must see something I can't see. As I stood there and looked around, and I couldn't see anything. And he goes, the sheep are over there. I'm thinking, where? Couldn't see them. And as we carried on walking, there was a hollow on the moor. And sure enough, the sheep were in the hollow, all huddled up, keeping one another warm. How do you normally get sheep home? What do you have to do? Lift them? Well, you can lift them, but there's too many for us to lift. It was only me and my dad, and there was about 20 sheep, so there was too many of them. So how do you think we were going to get them home? We didn't have a dog. Well, my previous experience with sheep wasn't very good. Again, coming from Ness, towing a trailer, you know what happened to me? I was driving along Sandwick Road, and unbeknown to me, the tailgate had come off the trailer. And when I stopped at the roundabout, the sheep jumped out the trailer. So I ended up chasing sheep round the front of the council offices, onto the rugby pitch, until I eventually got them back into the trailer. So I wasn't looking forward to chasing all these sheep home. So what my dad did was, he stood on one side and he said, walk round there. So I walked round. By this time the sheep were heads up, wondering what was happening. And I thought my dad was going to say, chase them. But he didn't. Do you know what my dad did? Anyone get any idea? My dad made a noise. I'm not even going to try and make it. But my dad made a noise that the sheep recognised. You know what the sheep did? The sheep got up. My dad turned round and started walking. He said the same thing again to the sheep, and they walked behind him, single file, all the way back into the house. 2 miles back into the house, onto the croft, and my dad fed them. Is that amazing? That the sheep knew my dad's voice, and they called them in. And he called them in, and they followed him. But you know, the Bible tells us that. There's a piece in the Bible, in the book of John, where Jesus says to the people, "My sheep, listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Now, each one of you are going to grow up in this world, and there's going to be lots of different voices that you're going to be hearing. There's going to be people telling you to do some things that are good, and there's going to be people that are telling you some things that are bad. And you've got to listen for the good voices. And what's the good voice that you hear about every Sunday when you come to church here? Alison. God. And how are we going to listen out for God? Bethany. Praying? Yes? Reading our Bible. So by praying and reading our Bible, we're going to hear what God's got to say to us. And that will help us to know what is good and what is bad. So as you grow up, who are you going to listen to? Yes, Katie. You're going to listen to God. And you're going to try and do everything that is right instead of going on the wrong path and ending up lost. These sheep heard my dad's voice, and they followed him all the way in to the house, and they were warm, and they were comfortable, and they were fed. And if we stay close with Jesus, that's exactly what will happen for us. We won't be alone, we'll be together, and Jesus will be there for us, and he'll look after us, and he'll provide for us. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll sing. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, as the children come and as they listen to your word, we pray that each one of us, Heavenly Father, would know what it is to hear your voice and to follow after you. That, Heavenly Father, that we would be able to shut out the bad voices that come from the world, the voices that take us away from you. And that, Heavenly Father, that we would indeed follow after you and come and take the rest that you offer to us. And that, Heavenly Father, that you would provide for us as you have promised, that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us if we put our trust fully in you. Bless the children, watch over them as they grow, and may they indeed know your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing in Mission Praise, and the words will be on the screen. Mission Praise 302. Mission Praise 302. I want to walk with Jesus Christ all the days I live of this life on earth, to give to him complete control of body and of soul. Follow him, yield your life to him. He has conquered death, he is King of Kings. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him. And may we all know that promise in Jesus. Stand to sing. For the dates, and when you're having your tea and coffee, there's fresh dates at the front here. Please take them. We'll turn and read in God's Word at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, a chapter that's well known to us. And we've read many times before, or here in church, or in our own private reading. We'll read the whole of the chapter. Luke chapter 15 from the beginning. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied. "Your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home with you, and you kill the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Amen, and may God add his blessing this reading of his holy word. Now ask Mr. John McSween to come and lead us in prayer in Gaelic.
моєї розгорянності. Ми ті махики були мали всякі нікиняхи, конікіля, насичення недоволі духу. Сьогодні ніки багаж, но рега на спирі, ви самофійдення, чешен, бухкорі, гаукіор. Сані бухчиня, кліця, дзен, мехта, тавайнвы. Ашіні шахранах на артоні. Ашін талимрал, гріс, ашіє. Ані рахбуасу там калейді та гарса. Варавса натулі лі тяшу саму. Натулі гміял сару саді ет кахуру. Сміра гух те амі паранта. Лишу наїдах гу ет гахи. Ахашіні хі ем'янихче. Чанун хавет пенана винятін хейн. Лишу нанам хліасту віда хукар сурі. Манаха кар фяхка каюмусі. Сані вучин, слергу, шин, сані вухта смуанджа, маравашини шин коні хейл. Анет кар, ефалла хоша. Сані вухта смуанджа нас, ях шини гегон, зі нептирен ухудав. Сможані гейвянихче, ашигата болу, кивилу пьоу, нусала шоку лакуна кинне, Kiedy jedy kaczlany, ale pły, a rły już pas. Kiedy chciach nie kaczy na nopy, ukydaha gady jany, uskrodaha wierycie, skiedy wody kaczy z wierachy, a na nowach kawink, co na nie malach nach, na niej poszczył kaczuś. Co się gotowano kolucie ten, etor go jedy sam, Ik kristlein ge evadju. Ge evjanik, tepjanik, ak kunnig og konik hele. As kakjani as vissin i kunnig, id evadju husjå. Kuti ge evjanik, tepjanik, is en lang et sur i jonsi, nartir har et duet etter marak se tukka. Har et gul at et sarska av dasha, nir en tjie etter fjachkik nu edi. Dwi'n gwybod eich bach gyn yn nhw'n sy'n gwybod yn gwybod sy'n gwybod yn o'ch achter yw'n stach i'r ffeir o'r ac i'r cam pawb. Mae sy'n gwybod bod yn o'r rhan i eifian eich i sag eich gwybod cwyn eich yn gwlach gyd yn mor eich hwyd at yw'n sy'n dwbod eich hwyd at y sio. Yw'n sy'n coet i chi na misg mar yn gyd. Yw'n dwi'n As it is to be where Mali do ye vanities, to guide souls with the spirit of the king. There is good act of Hala, who pretty well of all. Kavi, on a solution, Yawns Neglans, the tune of Mali, to be where in it and who way Nanik to shame, but a vow as no longer not here. Good to him, my ye vanity, Kavi Tarsa Hutena. Eisiau neu cawn y sydd efo sy'n trwy. I o'r sy'n tyfiannol. Nyr yw'n sa'n tyst ys i ystoch. Eisiau'n cyfys i neu pech yr hwm ys gyffar sy'n am y gras. Ys gybwn ys i'n chynnych ddi. Gan eich dy hyd efo sy'n eich sy'n fawr yn y gynnau sy'n. Gan eich eich hyn sy'n hyfwr. Ys gyffar sy'n nid ys fiat y tyfwt. Ie, y ddŵr o'ch yn ysbryd. Yn ei ddash, cwn yn ei ddash. Gan i siarad yn ychydig ddoshga, as ysgyd y sio as gachio pwys a ham, sy'n yw'n sy'n mwyl o ddon, y ffio y dŵr gwleid, y bwgar am chlis y ddoshga, yw sŵr o mewn fe gael, mae'r hir ar gachwlyd hir, s mae hir yn ysgwm gach ti o'n ei, o'n chanel am lach esyn, yw sesyn yn Ysyn cwyn ych eich wch bydd driplad slwch y frown ysgach at y syniad. Y mae'r ydw wch bydd driplad. Nio'n i anich ys yn sefys y cwyn ych eich eich y cwyn ych yn y fach sy'n y lai gan eich hir. I ein mae'r ydw yn ysgwant yn ffeins. Y bu os yn y ffein. Y pianoch gan y gyfyn yn y llach bych yn y lyfer at y ysyn. Ysgafai at y cael stryd y sens. Wyt ti'n ei, Rövslende karmen här kommer ju. Jag vill få på råd med riketna. Och kunna ha under. Jag känner sig kvis i kunden. Fäcken och var det en fall. Det var språn i ljön ut i öka. Snacka av att komma stack. Vi är det gal, han sa Jonas Kommersa. Det kunde stöjtra. Det tar sina tjänst till hivet ej. Snacka av vi. Det är hur den omgivaren har tagit sig vid hela. Att grundas till grad fel natur. Hur tycker du nu det var? Du borde sig ha något tid. Den kallade här lärare. Att hur du vill gärna gå. Snullar sin kyrk som en skatt i Österberg.
Continue the worship of God, singing in Gaelic, in Psalm 70, Psalm 70 from verse 4 and 5. O Lord, in thee let all be glad, in thee let all be glad, and joy that seek for thee, let them who thy salvation love say still, God praised thee. I poor and needy am, come Lord and make no stay, my help thou and deliverer art. O Lord, make no delay. These verses from Psalm 70, and we'll sing in Gaelic, and we'll stay seated for the sing.
Ah!
Father, as we come before you and as we seek to study your word, we acknowledge, Heavenly Father, that you have taken each one of us here to this place. Whatever the reason being, Heavenly Father, why we're here, we pray that we would focus on your word. And Heavenly Father, that we would seek to learn from both the speaker and the hearer. And Heavenly Father, if it be a word of direction, a word of correction, a word of uplifting, we would indeed be able to apply it to our own hearts, not to the person on our left or on our right. But Heavenly Father, that we would hear your voice speaking to us directly, and that we would respond. Guide us now, we pray you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we read in Luke 15, our thoughts will mainly focus on the three stories, the three parables that we have in Luke 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. But as we focus on that, I just want for you to think on a verse in Revelation chapter 3 and at verse 20. I know that Reverend MacLeod is currently taking us through the study in the letter to the seven churches, and I certainly don't seek to preach on that at this stage. But I just want you to think on that verse in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. And leaving that there, we'll come back to that verse later on in our study this morning. So if we go back to the passage in Luke 15, and as we read through the passage, we get three different stories. Stories of something or someone that is missing. Circumstances in which they're missing is very different. And the method used to recover the lost sheep and the lost coin are very different. The lost sheep and the lost coin are probably totally unaware of their state of lostness. It was the shepherd and it was the woman that recognised that they had lost something. Something that they owned, something that was dear to them, they had lost it. So when they found it, there was great joy, and they wanted to share that joy with others. The lost son, on the other hand, had made a conscious effort to leave the safety of his home, and it was only when everything was spent and he hit the lowest point of his life that he actually realised what he was missing. Nowadays, when somebody loses something, the first thing they'll generally do is pick up the phone. And nowadays it's dial 101 and report their loss to the police. I've lost my bike, I've lost my dog, I've lost my purse, my wallet, my credit card, you name it. People will phone and report the loss to the police. Not so that the police will go out and look for it, and it'll be maybe if it's a dog, but just to see if somebody's handed it in. Sometimes it's just for an insurance claim. On the other hand, it always amazes me the number of things that are found and handed in that nobody ever comes to claim or recover. And very often it's because they don't know they've even lost it. So when somebody phones into the police station to report that they've lost something, the call taker on the other end of the phone will ask them a series of questions. Their name, their address, their telephone number. Can you describe the item that you've lost? Where did you last lose it? Have you gone back to see if you can find it? The shepherd, when he lost his sheep, he didn't phone the police. He realised what was missing. He secured the other 99 sheep that he had, and he went back and he retraced his steps until he found the lost sheep, and he took it home. As parents, sometimes we know that going out with children somewhere, to shopping centres, to playgrounds, and even in our own back garden, children can go missing. Panic ensues. They were there, turn my back, and they're gone. Child's totally unaware of its loss. It's gone off to explore, or it's standing in a different place. Unaware of its loss until maybe it starts getting dark and it starts feeling hungry. Person phones a police station. My son and my daughter, 3 years of age, has gone missing. Call taker goes through the same series of questions. What's their name? What's their address? What were they wearing when you last saw them? Where did you last see them? Have you gone back to see if you can find them? I was working in Nairn, and I didn't often answer the phone in the front office. But this day the phone went, and I was the only person in the front office, and I answered the phone. And there was panic on the other end of the phone. A woman phoned in. A 3-year-old son was missing. Been having a family barbecue, been having a nice time at the house, and all of a sudden they realised the boy was missing. First question I asked her was, have you checked the house? Of course I've checked the house, why do you think I'm phoning you? So I said, well, if you could go back in and check the house, remember you're an adult, they're a child, places that you think are inaccessible, both for hiding, for climbing, a child would try anything. 5 minutes later, the phone went again. It wasn't the woman this time, it was her husband. Thank you very much for your time, officer. Found her son sleeping under the bed. But with the light in their voices, knowing that they had found her son, was overwhelming. When the woman lost her coin, she put up a light, she swept out the house and searched for it until she found it. It just taken a short time to focus on these two methods of searching. I want us for a short time to consider the lost son and the missing state that he found himself in. We can acknowledge that the father in the story was recorded as having lost his son. But I want us to consider for a short while what the son had lost and what he was missing. I commented earlier in the first two parables that of the sheep and the coin, that they were unaware of their state of lostness. They hadn't made any conscious decision to be lost. The sheep had failed to recognise that the rest of the flock had gone. It was too caught up in what it was doing. It obviously found some nice grass, and the head was down, and it never heard the shepherd calling. And as we considered with the children there, we have to listen. We have to listen out for the shepherd's voice, not get caught up in what we're doing ourselves and our own importance. Shouldn't be caught napping or daydreaming, but we should listen to what God has to say to us so that we don't become aware or don't become lost and unaware of our own state of lostness. The coin that was lost had obviously been misplaced. The coin had no feelings. It was totally unaware of its state of lostness. Yet it was precious to the woman, and she wanted to find it, and she searched until she had found it, and it was inside, in her own home. Every time we come to the communions, we read in 1 Corinthians 11 and at verse 28, a man ought to examine or search himself before he eats of the bread or drinks of the wine. When we see our own unworthiness, when we search inside ourselves, the joy that we have in knowing that we have a Saviour that is worthy to bear our sins. Not in and of ourselves, but we have Jesus that we can come to and we can rejoice in him. We're also reminded in both the stories, in Luke 15 at verse 7 and in Luke 15 at verse 10, of the rejoicing that there is in heaven over a sinner that repents. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not repent. And again, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents. One sinner repenting brings great rejoicing in heaven. So having looked at the lost sheep and the lost coin and the way that they were searched for, let's draw our attention to the son who makes a conscious decision to leave his home and turn his back on all that he's known and all that's been provided for him. The wealth that he was able to enjoy in his father's house, the security, the friendship, the support and love of his brother, the ample provision of food and clothing. He turned his back on it all, thinking he knew better and that he'd be able to manage his life on his own. We read that initially he never really missed home. There's nothing to tell us he even thought about it. He had money in his pocket. What we do learn about him is that he wandered to a distant country and he squandered his possessions on wild living. Why did he go to a distant country? Why did he not just go to the next town? Was he afraid that there was somebody there that would know him and tell his father of how he was living and how he was spending his money? Whatever his reason, he chose to go far away. Far away from home, far away from the security and safety that he had known. I'm sure if I was to ask anyone in here today, including myself, we'd be able to give account of when we've gone our own way. We've heard the advice of others, whether as from a parent, a teacher, a minister, or a friend. But we've decided that we knew best and that we'd go and do our own thing. For some, depending on what it was, may have worked out okay. But in most cases, it can end badly. And it may even have meant having to go back to the person that gave us the original advice and bowing our heads and saying, you were right. Admitting you were wrong and owning up to it can often be one of the most difficult things that any one of us has to do. We can either accept a mistake, ask forgiveness, learn from a mistake, and move on, or we can become hardened and adopt an attitude of, I'll show them. We can distance ourselves from the people we've counted on close before, and we go and do our own thing in an attempt to prove others wrong. Our pride gets the better of us, and without realising it, the hole that we're digging for ourselves only gets deeper and deeper. We're determined we're going to succeed in doing it our own way. And that's when we end up getting ourselves into bother. We fail to lift our heads to see the damage that we're doing. Not just to ourselves, but to our relationships with others. The son had chosen to leave home. He had money in his pocket, and for all the wrong reasons, he had friends. There's no depth to any of these relationships. He was living wild, and while he was living wild, everyone wanted to be there with him. They wanted the best thing for themselves. When was the next high going to come from? When was the next big win going to come along? How am I going to be able to better myself? Get a better position within the group? Well, he had the money. All was good. He was asked to parties. People came to his parties. But as the money ran out, his clothes started to look worn. He didn't have a home to stay in. He became a hanger-on. People may have tolerated him for a while, but eventually he wouldn't be invited to the parties anymore. The doors that were once open to him wouldn't be answered. He had moved from his home to a distant land. He had left the security, trying to find happiness, but all he found was sadness. All that he'd left at home was now a distant memory. And as the woman that lost her coin searched the inner parts of her home for the lost coin, sweeping every part of it, we read further on in the passage of how the lost son, sitting amongst the pigs, starts to miss what he hadn't acknowledged that he'd had before. The memories he thought he'd hidden in the deepest recesses of his mind, he now searched for them. The thoughts of his father, his older brother, the plenty that his father had, the servants in the home and the food and the clothes his father provided for them. He remembered them all. Then he realised what he had been missing and what he was now missing out on. Realising what he was missing was only part of the solution. The shepherd that we read of earlier recognised that he'd lost one of his sheep. He knew it was out in the hill, but only by going back out and retracing his steps would he be able to recover it and return it to the safety of the fold. If he had recognised the problem and done nothing about it, the situation wouldn't have changed. The sheep would have been left where it was, been exposed to danger, being attacked and lost forever. So the shepherd took action. He went, he found the sheep, and he took it back to the fold. The son could have stayed where he was. He might have found comfort in reminiscing about home. The warmth of his family home, the love of his father, the friendship of his brother. However, it wouldn't have changed his state. He would still have been eating amongst the swine. He would have been cold, hungry and lonely. While his head may have been down, doubts may have been racing through his mind. He knew what he had to do, and he did it. He set off on a journey, retracing his steps back to home. He walked through streets that before he had parted on. People he had once laughed and drank with wouldn't even have given him a second look. He may have even stopped for a moment to think on the mistakes he'd made as he passed by. But he was now on a different journey. No longer a journey of self-fulfillment. He was on a journey of rediscovery. Many of us here, as we've spoken about before, have been on this journey of rediscovery. In years gone by, we sat here in the Sunday school or in other churches. Our parents or grandparents read the Bible to us and prayed with us. But then we made the decision to leave home and leave the comfort and the security that we had. Things were good for a while. We felt a sense of fulfillment in what we were doing. Work was good. We had money in the bank. We had family. We had friends. A roof over our heads. We may even have asked ourselves, what more do I need? But then suddenly and without warning, your world comes crashing down threat of unemployment, a diagnosis from the doctor, a member of your family is bereaved, the loss of a parent, a spouse, a child, a close friend. All of a sudden, the ground you were standing on, that you've built all your life upon, doesn't feel so secure. You start to redefine what is important. It's often referred to as soul searching. In doing this, some of us have made a decision to turn their lives around, no longer living for themselves, but answering the call of God in their lives. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We talked with the children this morning about hearing God's voice and following. What voice are you listening to in your life? Is it the voice of God? Or are you still listening to the voice of self-fulfillment, which tells you there's time yet? Leave that just now. Yes, there may be security and assurance, but come on, leave it. Leave that to others. There's time yet for you. The son had to make a conscious decision to change his course. He had to recognise the path he was on had led him away from the security of his home, his father, his brother, and the provision of the basic essentials of food and clothing. Fighting against the draw of home would have meant that he would have been lost forever. It is not stated how long it took for the son to get into this state he was in. All that we know is that he had turned his back on the safety of his home and was now scraping the bottom of the barrel. And only then, when the pigs had had their fill. The son had to run to a far-off land to escape home and all the restraints that he felt he had put in his life. We sang Psalm 139, for the psalmist recognises that there's nowhere we can hide from God. Nowhere we can go. Whether we go to the highest point or to the lowest point, God is there. And he cries out, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Absolutely nowhere. I ask you the question this morning, if you don't already know God as your Saviour, are you running from him this morning? May I actually then turn round and answer the question, no, I'm not running away, I'm here, aren't I? Well, you may be. You may be here, but there's action you've got to take. The shepherd had to go out and retrace his steps. The son had to get up and return to the father. Being here may soothe your conscience and make you feel good for a short while. But if you don't take action, the burden isn't going to go away. What are you afraid of? The key message in the chapter is that what was lost has been found, and that there's rejoicing in heaven over that sinner being found again. What choices are you going to make this morning? Are you going to walk out the door and say, I'll leave it for another day? At the start of the service, we said, or I asked that you consider Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. As a police officer, I've gone to knock on many doors, for a variety of different reasons. The only time that this is not the case, where I've had to go and knock on the door, is when I've gone there with a warrant that gives me power to enter without having to knock. And what happens when you execute a warrant happens without the will of the householder. However, in most circumstances, the times that we go to the door don't justify a warrant. And when you knock the door, the hope is and the expectation is that the door will be opened and that you'll be welcomed in. As I say, I've been to many doors, carrying out inquiries, searching for missing persons. And sometimes the door isn't opened. Despite the fact that you know while you're standing there knocking, there's actually somebody in the house. The television's on, cars in the driveway, the lights are on, and somebody might even shout from behind the door, "Go away, I don't want to speak to you. You're not getting in here today." People missing, people hiding, afraid of what the outcome may be when they open the door to the police. This morning it's not a police officer that's knocking on your heart. It's Jesus. You're here this morning for a purpose. And when you hear Jesus knocking, don't hide, don't be found missing, and don't miss out. There's absolutely nothing to be afraid of. As he knocks, he calls, and his voice is clear. And he says, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." Nothing is hidden. Purpose is clear. If you're lonely, he will come in and he'll be with you. If you're hungry, he'll provide for you above and beyond anything you can imagine. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 23, verses 5 and 6, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Are you running from something this morning? Are you hiding from something? God is calling you. He's saying to you, "I'm standing here. I'm knocking on your heart's door." He can't open the door himself. As it says there, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door." As the shepherd had to take action, as the lost son had to take action to return home, you have to take action to open the door. There'll be no forced entry. There'll be no warrant executed. You have to make the decision. You have to take the action. He offers to fill the void. He offers to provide. He wants to come in. Are you going to let him come in? Are you going to open the door? And instead of being lost, be found. Instead of being missing and missing out, get in and take part and receive all that there is to get. "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word to us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as you search us, as you know us, we would search our own hearts this morning. And that if we do not know you as Lord and Saviour, if you are not on the throne of our hearts, that Heavenly Father, that we would hear your knock, we would hear your voice, and that we would open our hearts to you. And Heavenly Father, that you may come in, you may cleanse us afresh, that you may renew us, and that we would receive from you joy everlasting. Guide us now, we pray. And forgive us for our sins and for our shortcomings. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. We'll sing in closing again from Mission Praise. In 315, I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left the realms of glory for the cross and Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, sing it with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, raised me up and gently led me back into the narrow way. Days of darkness still may meet me, sorrow's path I oft may tread, but his presence still is with me, by his guiding hand I'm led. I'll sing these verses, verse 1-3 from Mission Praise 315. I'll stand to sing. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us now and evermore. Amen.